little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
What are the issues for you? What are the things that you find difficult about suicide assessment? What sort of things?
I find it sometimes it's quite difficult to ask sensitively in your world when patients are really distressed. I'm aware of the patients wanting to present themselves in a certain way, and they don't want to dare to disclose that they actually do feel suicidal. And sometimes mm-hmm. I get the sense that they are suicidal, mm-hmm. but they don't want to say so.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep asking and asking.
Okay, so let's set that up. And
that's the part I find tricky. And then I think, do I believe them? And then
I think sometimes patients are actually quite relieved when you ask them if they really are feeling suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of feel a bit relieved that you've asked, and if they kind of say yes, it actually isn't as uncomfortable as you kind of imagine it's going to be. But I don't know, it's not something that you can rush as it in the kind of consultation. No. But I think if you've got a rapport, you've connected with them, and you kind of at that stage of asking, the patients kind of go a bit like, actually.
So yeah. Let's go around and just get your preferred first question.
I had the opposite experience. I had a patient who came in quite angry, and he told me he prefers not to be than to be. So I took it as a sign of, so I prefer to be dead. So I told him, okay, what do you mean exactly by that? And he said, I asked him, do you prefer to be dead now? And then he said yes, and okay, do you feel suicidal? I became concerned that moment because of the past experience I had in a couple of other hospitals. Male patient came with similar symptoms, which I referred to crisis team, and then day later he was dead. He committed suicide. And with that background, I took it very seriously. But I referred him to crisis team while he was there. However, I spoke to my CS, and she asked me, well, what stops him not to commit suicide?
Mm-hmm.
Which I directly confronted him. What stops you from committing suicide? And he became very angry. He just left immediately. And obviously, he was suicidal, not suicidal, but when he faced the reality of what it is going on in his thought, then he preferred to leave.
Mm.
So,
what's your understanding of that now?
Really difficult, really, because I've seen so different cases. I accept that case as very individual.
Sure.
I think I probably in that moment I shouldn't dig into that very sensitive area.
You shouldn't.
But he came in giving it to you, so
yeah.
It's interesting that he then didn't want to be asked about
yes,
it.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't it? 'Cause
There's no question that your previous experience of what's happened with emotional health difficulties colours the way that you're inclined to act. And you can't escape that. But when you're presented with information that makes you think that suicide could be on the table, then we need to make a reasonable assessment of that.
That's right.
And what we're going to try and do now is to try and get a consensus over what works and what potentially grates and what potentially presses the wrong buttons at the wrong time. Because there's no perfect way of doing it, but there are ways that work better than others.
Yeah.
And I had an experience with a patient who I was running late on Tuesday, saw this patient, and she was in a rush to leave the room. And the last thing that she said was that she'd rather not be here. And it was the same scenario, the same situation. I already knew that this patient had problems with depression. And I'd made a full assessment on previous occasions to find out what she meant and whether she was planning any self-harm. And she gave me enough information for me to be relatively secure about it. But then she dashes out the door and says, I just don't want to exist anymore. And there was no way that I was pulling her back because she was already late for meeting up with someone else. So how much do you take of that on board, and what sort of questions is important? So,
to be let's go around. Yeah. And what are your opening, what are some of your opening strategies or statements or gambits?
I think sometimes I use the scale to see like how bad it is. So for example, if they say like 2,
and so zero give me what you say. Say it to me. I'm the patient and I'm distressed and you're wanting to broach the subject of suicidality. Give me a starting line.
Okay, so I'd say like with all the patients that come in with low mood, we need to ask them those questions, and it's routine questions. Do you have any suicidal thoughts?
Okay.
Have you got any worrying thoughts at the moment?
Have you got any worrying thoughts at the moment?
Have you had any thoughts of wanting to harm yourself or others?
Okay.
I'd say, now I need to ask you this question. Can you tell me if you ever actually thought of ending at all
We're not going to score these out of 10. We're just getting them on the table so we can develop them.
Yeah, I changed my question. I asked from now, from that point, is life worth to continue?
Is life
worth to continue?
Worth continuing, yeah. Okay. Okay.
So just talking about the life.
Yeah. And
see what his opinion or her opinion is about that.
Normally I used to phrase, have you ever felt so low that you want to harm yourself or you want to end your life?
Mm-hmm. So I guess,
Can I pitch in as well? So I think that where Ziad was probably heading with his inclination to scale comes from an evolution of something that I quite often do, which is introduce the whole idea of mood by asking them the mood scaling question.
Yep.
So I would say to them, for example, I'd like to get a feel for how happy or otherwise you are at the moment. And I'd like you to give me a score out of 10. 10 would be, you couldn't feel any happier. A 0 would be things were so bleak that you would end it all today and I wouldn't be able to do anything to stop you. Have things ever been that bleak? And I would, if people were giving me a low score, I would then double check and ask them, oh, so have things ever been so difficult that you've thought about doing something to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So to get an inroad in that way.
Okay, yeah. So I might say a couple of ways in. One of the things that's really important is that I understand how safe or otherwise you might be at the moment. And so I'd like to ask you, have you ever felt so bad that you have wanted to take your own life or commit suicide? So that might be one way of doing it. Is to own my task is about seeing how safe or otherwise you are. Or otherwise, I might do, sometimes people get to the stage where they can't see anything other than ending their lives. Has that ever been the case for you now or in the past? So a little bit more of a sort of a frame, this is what I'm doing now, is we both need to know, or I'd like to understand how safe or otherwise you feel at the moment. Have you ever got to the stage where you felt that you didn't want to be here anymore, where you felt that you wanted to hurt yourself or even kill yourself? But if it's an angry person, then I might be, you know, trying to frame that a bit more.
Yeah.
One of the things that I always like to do, one of the things we should do is understand what you mean when you say you don't want to be here anymore. Okay. And tell me what that means. So that's an opening remark. Thoughts or of everything you've heard, what do people think is helpful.
When I say have you had any worrying thoughts, if a patient is suicidal, they will use their own words to describe it, and then I can then rephrase what they've said rather than it be my words. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it opens it up, and if they kind of go, well, yeah, I have thought that it's not worth living, life's not worth living, then they've said it rather than me having to say it.
Yes.
But it doesn't always work like that, but no, it's nice if it does.
And it's neat when it works, because you get their ownership.
Yeah.
But the problem is when they say, well, I worry about so-and-so and I worry about this, and then you have to say,
and then I have to, yeah, really then you have to say, yeah, this, and then I have to say what I mean is,
yeah.
And then you have to clarify, because obviously you have to specifically ask it.
Exactly.
So it's not enough.
So it's not enough on its own, no. Okay, good. Okay.
It's very individual, different patients, and it will really depend how much they've already told you and how much they've opened up to you. But also, I find that a lot of patients that are depressed have thought about not being here anymore, but they're not going to kill themselves, and they say, oh, I think about not being here, I'd like to not be here, but I'd never kill myself. And then you have that conversation, which, so that can take quite a bit of, this can be.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusion.